In today's episode of In the Loop, we hear from three industry leaders at the 2023 Eastern Energy Expo about their transition and perspective on low-carbon liquid heating fuels. Up first, we chat with Rick Bologna, VP of Westmore Fuel, to understand why dealers need to add biofuels to their product lineup now as fuel and equipment advancements are making the transition to higher blend fuels more attainable.
In the Loop is brought to you by Nora. NORA was authorized by Congress in 2000 to provide funding that enables the liquid fuel heating industry to provide more efficient, more reliable, and lower carbon home heating and hot water to the American consumer. This podcast takes a deeper look at research initiatives, equipment considerations, renewable fuels, carbon reduction, and technical education propelling us towards a low carbon future. For more information, visit noraweb.org.
Well, it's Tuesday, May 23rd here at the Eastern Energy Expo. And in the In the Loop podcast booth with me, I have past NORA chairman and current VP of Westmore Fuel Company, Rick Bologna from Greenwich, Connecticut, and current board member as well. Even though you're a past chair, they don't let you off the board that fast, right?
No, they don't.
Well, glad to have you with us. And just talking a little bit today about low-carbon heating fuels and what it looks like for your company and your viewpoints on the industry as we make this transition to low-carbon liquid heating fuels, what that transition's looked like over the last few years.
Well, our company, we're a third-generation full-service fuel dealer and also a wholesaler, and we made the transition to bioheat in 2008, where we started low percentage, 2%. Mm-hmm. Other dealers in New York metro market area had already started that jump, and we followed their lead. And by 2012, we went to B20 with full injection systems at our terminal. And we've been retailing B20 ever since, looking for that opportunity to really step that biodiesel percentage up. Mm-hmm. So the next step would be B50.
I said the last few years. Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for 15 years. Mm-hmm. This isn't anything brand new for your company.
No, it's not. It's exciting to see our industry in the last 5 to 6 years really embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has that transition gone from a operational standpoint and then also ultimately from the perception of your customers?
In 2008, we did a customer survey. The basic response out of that survey was, yes, we want to be green, but no, we don't want to pay more for it.
Gotcha. That's the bottom line.
Right. So, and that's probably with a lot of green initiatives, you would get that response. It was tough those first few years because sometimes you had cost disparities, but we kept plowing the road. Mm-hmm. Now there's almost no cost disparity between biodiesel and traditional heating oil. There could be times in the marketplace that it's not. It got a little out of whack. But those are very short cycles as opposed to a longer-term cycle. What I've been talking about with our biodiesel suppliers recently is New York Harbor is going to have a lot better supply scenario than the last few years since COVID. COVID kind of disjointed a lot of things, not just biodiesel.
Right.
But it's good to see that it's getting back to normal.
Now, are you primarily distributing there in Connecticut, or are you in New York as well?
We're in New York as well, so we're right on the Connecticut-New York border in southwest Connecticut.
Okay.
So literally, the back door of my office is the line with the river, and then
literally.
It's New York State, literally.
I can cross right over.
I can throw a rock in New York.
So, obviously, it sounds like your customers have been happy with the transition. Was that a fair statement?
Yes. New York State made it a little bit more appealing with their biodiesel tax percentage blend rebate. That's a considerable credit on their personal income tax return. We use that as a marketing opportunity.
So that's added a whole other overlay to this from a business standpoint.
Yes. So now it's really... we're getting the benefit of being cleaner, greener, because Connecticut does not have that tax rebate. But as our industry is maturing more in the biodiesel, bioheat space, with NORA and other entities in our industry doing all this research, getting better data, which we then turn into marketing to the retail space.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you see this on the horizon for your company? Where's your company going with it? And how do you see the big picture of the industry unfolding around perhaps higher blends?
I definitely see higher blends. We don't have another option. I'm going to put it that way.
Okay.
We have federal governments, state governments looking at electrification, really cutting us out of the picture. And although that comes with a big, big price tag. Mm-hmm. So our liquid fuel can go right into the system now.
Yeah, it's ready today.
Yeah.
And you don't have to rebuild the infrastructure.
The year 2030 and 2035, which is really right around the corner, mm-hmm. you're looking at some critical points in time where electrification can really be on the verge. And if we're not at B50 yet, we can't show the public that what we're doing.
So now is the time.
Now is the time.
Yeah. So how do you see Nora's role aiding in this process?
The acceleration of research has been incredible. It has really amped up, and I see that continuing. Even today's keynote session, with that data coming out, was encouraging for me to see. You know, I had mentioned earlier, I want to get to B50. How do I do that at my location? You know, even when we look forward to B100, our largest issues right now with the fuel are transporting in trucks, mm-hmm. overnight, sitting in the truck. Once it gets to the customer's house, we feel it's going to be as advertised. It's the transport side that we need to worry about, you know, here in the Northeast.
And that keynote, just for those that are listening that didn't get a chance to hear it, was focused on cold flow properties, correct?
Correct. What I took away from today's keynote was B50 is not only attainable, but we could do this very soon, within the next few couple of years. So that's encouraging to me.
Again, it's a here type right. technology, not a pie in the sky future envisioning opportunity.
And also with the advent of our equipment manufacturers, Beckett, Carlin, mm-hmm. rolling out B100 burners, that's encouraging. The whole industry is embracing the need to go to higher blends.
So I guess if there's one takeaway of this conversation, it sounds like now's the time to go to higher blends.
Now is the time.
And I hope that folks that, as we've talked with a number of different individuals today and yesterday as well, that seems to be a recurrent theme that I'm hearing in these discussions, is both for the immediate future and long-term future of the industry, this is something to embrace and to actively transition to.
Yes. The being around the industry virtually all my life, you know, one thing we don't like is in our industry is change.
Yeah.
Right? So my family's business started with coal and ice, transitioned to No. 2 distillate, and now we're on the next transition. So it's neat to see this progression, which is natural.
Yeah, right? A natural evolution for the industry, certainly.
As the liquid heating fuel industry rapidly moves towards lower carbon fuels, NORA and Clean Fuels Alliance America will be hosting 2 high blends infrastructure workshops on July 27th in Needham, Massachusetts, and again on August 22nd in Greenwich, Connecticut. These workshops will be end-to-end supply chain planning intensives to prepare fuel handlers at every touchpoint for the receipt, blending, storage, transport, marketing, and consumption of bioheat blends beyond B20. As the industry's commitment to low-carbon fuels attracts more biodiesel into the supply pool, it's critical that the chain of custody establish and standardize best practices for effectively moving high blends downstream to the consumer. If your business plays any role in the distribution or consumption of liquid heating fuels, you should join us for these important interactive events. Space is limited, so go to exploringbiodiesel.com for more information and to make your reservation. Now, back to the podcast.
Next, we talk with Kate Duffy, president of D.E. Duffy & Sons, and hear her perspective on incorporating higher blend fuels into a 125-year-old company. Well, it's Tuesday, May 23rd here at the Eastern Energy Expo, and in the booth with me, I have Kate Duffy with DE Duffy & Sons from Pennsylvania, and she is a newly minted member of the NORA Executive Committee as of yesterday, correct, Kate?
That is right.
Well, welcome. Glad to have you on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your company. You're fourth generation, right?
Fourth generation. DE Duffy & Sons was started in 1898 by my great-grandfather. They started with delivering coal and ice and transitioned to fuel oil. And we do fuel oil service as well as HVAC service.
How big is your company?
So we have two locations, one in Plymouth Meeting and one in Westchester. And we have about 35 employees.
Talk a little bit about your role now as a new member of the executive committee. You're the vice chair. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And president now of your company.
Yes.
That's amazing.
We're very proud of that. We're still family owned and operated by the same family for 125 years.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's been a lot of growth and development, even change in our industry. And you see that same change happening now with low-carbon liquid heating fuel.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that's a big focus of NORA. It's a big focus here at this show. Tell me a little bit about what that looks like from your company and how that transition is going.
You know, we haven't started that actual transition yet, but it is something that we're looking to do. The heating fuel industry is under attack, and we have to move in a different direction than we currently are at. You're going to be looking at mandates to get everyone on board to go low carbon. People need to get ready for it because it's not going away.
How can we accelerate that transition?
I think by being a part of your state associations and making sure that you know what's going on in the industry, I do believe that we will probably see mandates for this in the future. And I think that's going to be the biggest way to get people on board with this.
So what kind of blends do you all currently deliver?
We just do ultra-low sulfur.
Ultra-low mm-hmm. sulfur, specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're looking at it and looking at making that transition.
Absolutely.
In the future and seeing that on the horizon. What kind of challenges are you seeing then in your state? Not just the transition, but what keeps you up at night right now? How's that?
That's a loaded question. You know, the industry, there's a lot of good with fuel oil. We've made strides over so many years. Mm-hmm. We're not the same product we were, but the industry has made so many changes for the better. Mm-hmm. And we have options. We don't need to all be electric. We have options to heat your home and to keep you comfortable. You know, people expect there to be heat and hot water. Mm-hmm. And liquid fuels is the way to do that.
Well, and I think consumers still want a choice.
They do.
That's the thing that I keep hearing again and again as I conduct these interviews, is that it's not an all one type meets everybody's need. As that push happens in one direction, it's not going to be the right fit for everyone.
Right.
And fuel oil has a place today, and it will have a place tomorrow of quite some time.
Oh, it absolutely will. And I say to everyone, I will do whatever you want for your home. If you want electric, I'll go over those options with you. If you want gas, propane, oil, I will do whatever it is you want. But I'm going to also educate the consumer on what they are getting mm-hmm. so that they can make the best choice.
Obviously, education is a main part of mm-hmm. NORA's mission. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the importance of an educated workforce.
Oh, I think that that's very important. I think a lot of times people, you know, someone says, I want to do this or I want to go electric because that's what everyone's saying I should do. And if you don't know how to address that with whomever you're on the phone with, it might be that they're going to go electric, but we can have a conversation and have all the options out there. And if your team doesn't understand that, it's a little hard to do.
As a leader in NORA, what are your long-term objectives? What do you see on the horizon for NORA in its, as it meets its mission, both in the transition to low-carbon liquid heating fuels, but also in education and in research?
You know, I think NORA has made amazing strides in their education. They wanted it to be about the technician, when the technician's in that customer's home. And if they are out on a call in the middle of the night and they can't get anyone on the phone, NORA's their website has all the information they could possibly need right there. And I think that's huge for a technician to have an outlet when they might not be able to call someone or have the knowledge they need at that moment.
Well, in the video resources as well. I mean, so many, particularly the younger techs, I mean, that's how they're used to getting the information. I mean, we're a YouTube society, so people want to see the visual. How do I do that? What does that look like? And even that's kind of cool with this particular show, with the live fire demonstration outside and all the things you can see hands-on. I mean, obviously, having been an individual in this business for, I'm going to guess, most of your career?
Yes, most of my career.
What do you look forward to when you come to this expo? What do you like to zone in on and see when you're here?
You know what? I love to see what the industry's doing as a whole. I always say it's like a rah-rah session. You're excited to be here. You're excited to be in the fuel oil business or the energy business. Mm-hmm. And I think that that momentum carries back to your workplace with your staff, and it just kind of reassures you what you're doing every day. I often think about when my family made the switch from coal to fuel oil, if people sat around and had the same conversations we're having today.
Yeah. What did your grandfather and great-grandfather talk about with, well, how do we make this transition?
Exactly.
And what's it going to look like?
And we've done it before, and we can do it again.
Yep. And it's something that doesn't happen overnight.
No.
It's a culture change, right? And how do you bring your customers along with you in that process?
You know, I think it's just communicating with them. Mm. Some days I just love to sit and answer my phone in the offices all day long, just because the customers tell me how they feel, what's going on. And I think the more you can communicate with your customers about changes and the technology that's available, I think that that's really important. We're in a pivotal time, and I think it's important that you learn as much as you can and take everything back with you.
Because your customer service representatives are the voice of your organization and the touch point with your customers, NORA and Clean Fuels Alliance America have created the CSR Bootcamp, designed to provide your customer-facing employees with a stronger level of comfort in communicating the benefits of the liquid heating industry. Your customer service representatives will come away knowing how to create a higher value proposition in the eyes of your customers and how to communicate the value of equipment upgrade rebates provided through the Inflation Reduction Act and NORA. They'll be able to understand and communicate the liquid heating industry's advancements in decarbonization through biodiesel blending, and they'll know how to turn a pricing question into a new customer. The CSR workshop will be held on July 26th in Needham, Massachusetts, and again on August 21st in Greenwich, Connecticut. Space is limited. Go to exploringbiodiesel.com for more information and to make your reservations. Now, back to our podcast.
Finally, we speak to Dave Westerfield with Jennings Oil to learn how his company has progressed by including higher blends in their business operations. Well, it's Wednesday, May 24th, here at the Eastern Energy Expo in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And in the podcast booth with me today, I've got Dave Westerfield with Jennings Oil in Danbury, Connecticut. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Jennings Oil. What are you doing with blends today with low carbon liquid heating fuels?
Well, Jennings Oil has been in business for a little over 40 years. We have about 252,000 gallons of storage on site. Mm-hmm. You know, we started off pretty much like everybody else, a little small B5. We've been B20 pretty much since July of 2015. We do a pretty good size throughput through the terminal, two main companies, but again, we have off branches of 10 others that pull fuel from us. Mm-hmm. You know, again, really, other than a couple little problems in the beginning in 2015, we've been relatively pretty trouble-free.
Well, that's great. And you would know your role is in the operations and service side,
right? The service side of things. We found some issues in the beginning with some exterior tanks, which, you know, talking and discussing it in through OESP and through our chapter meetings, mm-hmm. We found some other suppliers were having the same issues. So we put our heads together and, you know, tried to remedy the issue. And we did find there were some problems we had to address. And most of it was housekeeping with tanks and so on and so forth. But once we got through that, it's really been pretty successful so far.
That's excellent. And what percentage would you say are your outside tanks versus inside?
I would probably say we're somewhere in the 10 to 15% range.
Okay.
You know, as far as exterior tanks.
Exterior. So it's a minority in those that you
Correct.
Service.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the from the supply side, just looking at from an operations standpoint, do you all blend your own or do you buy pre-blended?
We have it trucked in, so we pick up at a terminal in New Haven, go across the street to a bio terminal, mm-hmm. and we'll do a splash blend on the way in.
Have you had any concerns or seeing any issues on the supply side?
Nothing at all in Connecticut.
Oh, that's great. Are
the majority of your customers then now moved over to blended product?
All of our customers are.
All of your customers. Okay. And how was the reception on the customer side?
Relatively pretty quiet. We're only a handful of inquiries, mm-hmm. questions on it and so on. But no, so far it's been relatively a smooth transition, to be dead honest with
you. Do customers see it as an advantage?
I think so. Again, everybody's trying to do their part. The customers are content with it. We just haven't really seen any problems.
How about on the employee side? What was the reaction, and did you have to do any specialized training or introduction of new techniques?
We had to go over some techniques, things to look for, potential issues that were brought up through OESP meetings again through other companies, things we have seen on social media and so on. Again, speaking with Bob, obviously he's got a great handle on it, being you guys are doing all the work. But no, for the most part, we just do some small trainings. We, make sure that the guys are paying attention to what's going on out there. If there is an issue, they see something in filtration, fuel, quality, and so on, they bring a sample in and bring it to our attention.
Mm-hmm. And did you have to modify anything in the way you deliver your product or store your product
Not
in the process?
Time.
Okay, so it's literally just a very smooth transfer.
It was just a switchover, correct.
So why do you think folks are slow to change? Or if slow is, that's a relative standpoint. Some people changing over, some people aren't.
I just think they just haven't spent the time to take a good look at it and really get involved in it. Mm-hmm. I just heard a couple gentlemen on the jitney on the way over that were oil company owners and, just listening to their conversation. And I just think they just haven't really sat down with Nora and really understood what's going on.
So what in the training side did you do and your company do early on to help manage the expectations, whether it be from the customer or even from your employees and your staff? How did you get folks comfortable with it?
Again, it was pretty simple changeover. A lot of it, anything that we really did was housekeeping. Uh-huh. There were some tanks that had to be addressed. Uh-huh. There were some line issues that had to be addressed. Again, some small things with filtration. But, in a big picture, it was pretty easy transfer.
Well, that's great to hear. So let's talk a little bit about what you do with OESP. Are you involved on the training? You're a vice president.
Right? I am a vice president on the executive board of OESP. I am a former president of a Fairfield County chapter, mm-hmm. Current vice president of Fairfield County chapter. Basically, I do a lot of different things. And, membership's been up. It's been great. The show here today has been well attended. Mm-hmm. The tech classes have been very, very well attended. Very interesting classes.
Have you seen some education sessions that really caught your eye?
I have. Your Nora demonstration outside is great.
Okay.
Excellent. I actually had the kids from Bronx Boise's yesterday. They came down from a 3-hour ride from the city, mm-hmm. took them out to the live fires outside. They had a little conversation with Bob O'Brien at the booth.
What was their takeaway?
It's new to them. They're really, learning the service side of things. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of questions about what the differences were for the fuel, why we're doing what we are for the fuel, mm-hmm. and, explaining to them about the renewables.
And as you said, the live fire stuff really seems to be attracting folks' attention out there to get a chance to look at the burner systems, to
see the
different. I was just curious, in looking at that, in terms of the flame and the different levels, what were they most impressed by?
I mean, basically, there's not a big change in the fire. Hmm. There's not a big change in the look of the fire. Mm-hmm. you can see it through the Pyrex chamber. Mm-hmm. So that's really showing somebody that you're going from, regular number two fuel oil on up through, through to B5, B20, and so on, mm-hmm. that there's very little flame change.
What about some of the classes and even some of the things you've seen on the floor? Is there anything stood out that caught your attention? Something new or different or technology you hadn't
Beckett's,
seen?
Beckett's new B100 burner was out. It's a little bit of a different look. It's nice to see that, the manufacturers are keeping up with the changes.
Right, right.
A lot of new technologies available constantly, and it's changing on a daily, yearly, monthly basis nowadays, and it's good for the industry.
Well, what other things are you seeing on the horizon that you're taking note of?
We're all diversifying, trying to find different income streams. Again, obviously, we're all going to have to, move on and get ourselves in a higher quality of fuel, the B50, B100. So there will be some changes, especially to us as a terminal. There's going to be some changes, and that's what we're all working together on.
just in the time we have remaining, are there any specific pieces of wisdom you have for folks in the industry that you've picked up in your time? Like, as you're looking to educate the technicians of tomorrow, what's the advice you're giving to the young techs that are coming up today?
Training, listen, pay attention. But the biggest thing is training. I mean, it's out there. It's available, as you can see here. It's free. You guys have a great program at NORA itself, mm-hmm. with silver and gold. It's really what I have to recommend to the younger technicians coming up into the business.
You've been listening to In the Loop with NORA. To learn more and stay up to date with NORA initiatives, visit noraweb.org. Stay tuned for our next conversation with Scott Fenwick and Paul Nazzaro of Clean Fuels Alliance.